Well, hi, everyone. It's good to be back with you again. It's Sam and John and I with you. It is January 10th, and we wanted to follow up from last week to a degree what we talked about, this idea of seeking God on what should be our pursuit, our personal pursuit for this year, our transcendent pursuit. And we talked about this idea last week, but we wanted to talk a little further because, you know, the truth is that Sam and John and I didn't share anything in terms of a transcendent pursuit that we felt that we had, and we still have much more than that right now.
And there's a very good reason we didn't share it.
That's right. So we wanted to explore it a little bit further, but really in the direction of maybe sharing, and we're talking about all of us here, sharing what we have at this point. And it can be very little or it could be a significant amount so far of a sense of what does God want us to pursue this year? What feels transcendent that's on our heart? And so, a lot of times what really helps us get more clarity, get some direction in something like this is when we have to speak it out loud, we have someone listening and asking questions and probing a little bit. So Sam and John and I wanted to do that with each other and with you as well. We would love for you to get on with us and share on the phone, which would be the best way to do it, so we could hear your voice. If you absolutely don't want to do that but would love to participate, then you can do that on the chat line as well. And it would just be a little bit more difficult. But John really wanted to go first. So we voted John in to go first. And as Sam said, I really enjoyed his email that he sent out, the reminder to everyone about, you know, maybe something that you want to discover, maybe something that you sense you need, that God wants you to dismantle in your life. It could be anything. God is up to all sorts of things in our life. And so John, I know that when we talked this afternoon, the three of us really didn't have anything specifically yet, and our assignment to each other was to take some time this afternoon and try to get something to start with. So do you have something you can share with us kind of in this discovery of a transcendent pursuit for you this year?
No.
Okay, then. So my question is, why is that?
No, I'm kidding. I just had to start that way since you voted me in. Actually, this kind of stems off of what I shared last week, how God has been opening my eyes to the role of the mind in our transformation and in our walk, kind of keying off Romans 12 where it talks about be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I won't go into details of what I shared last week, but over the weekend, I just spent some more time on that, and I started thinking about, I don't know why, I guess God just led me along the lines of thinking, what were some of the most significant events that ever in my spiritual life? And so I identified three, and just so for sake of example, one of those events was going to a calling retreat. And so I started thinking about what happened at the calling retreat that had such a powerful impact on me. And for the first time, I began to realize there was a change, an introductory change, I'll call it, into my thinking, the way I was thinking, which I think is actually a big part of what happens in the calling retreat. It awakens us and causes us to think differently about who we are, what our calling is, what our role is, and all that stemming from the deep desires of our hearts. So over the next few years after that, I began to just see my thinking change as a result of what I had learned and experienced in that one weekend. And so it was just a picture to me from the Lord this weekend of how there are a lot of times we'll have thinking patterns that we're not even aware of that are wrong, or that are kind of right but not 100% right. And so he'll bring an experience into our life, or allow us to go to something like a retreat or any number of other ways. He'll begin to shake and rattle some of those thinking patterns, and we have to stop and rethink and reexamine. Is this really true? I've accepted this particular thing as true all my life, but is it really true? And maybe it's not. And so, anyway, that was kind of where I was this weekend in this pursuit. It was kind of funny because this morning the thought hit me, I wonder what I currently am thinking, what my current thinking pattern is that's wrong. As I thought that, I could see the Lord just kind of smiling. Okay, now you're on to something. You're going where I want you to go. So, and the first thought that crossed my mind, and this is as far as I've gotten with it. I haven't had a chance to journal or think or pray or anything. It was just some passing thoughts this morning. But the first thought was my career and my financial picture for this upcoming year, because it's going to be significantly different than it's been the last 4 or 5 years. And so I thought, you know, maybe I need to reexamine the way I'm viewing this upcoming year, and examine my thoughts and examine them against Scripture and what I know is really true. So that's as far as I've gotten.
So, John, you know, the topic that you're talking about is really near and dear to my heart. I mean, you're talking about all these things. My blog is called Beliefs of the Heart, and you were just talking about ways I see the world that I'm not even aware of, which I would call a belief of the heart, but I think calling it the mind is just as good and probably more spiritually accurate. I mean, I don't know. So I'm thrilled with your topic. But if you were to put it down into like a sentence, what do you think the topic is?
Yeah, I think it really is, and I like to use the word convictions of the heart. It's really the same thing, but we have these convictions that are deep-rooted in our life, and sometimes they're correct and sometimes they're not. Those convictions lead to behavior. We act based on what we truly believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always thought if I had a room of people and I said, okay, everybody, there is a tornado 100 yards from this building and it's headed straight for us. Well, everybody in the room would look at me like, are you crazy? Or, you know, what's this all about? Nobody would take cover. Nobody would even move. And yet, if they looked out the window and saw a tornado, it would go from an idea to a conviction of the heart really quickly. And the behavior would change. And I think a good example of that is when the disciples were out in the boat and Jesus was asleep and they thought they were going to die. And when he calmed the water, I know they had to be thinking, who is this? What kind of a man is this that calms the sea? And I think that was an example of he had told them who he was. They had an idea who he was. If they had been asked who he was, they would say, well, he's the prophet, he's the son of God, or something like that. But it hadn't become a deep conviction yet. And so it changed the way they reacted.
So do you want to study what it means to have a conviction of the heart? Do you want to understand what it means to have a renewed mind? Do you want to understand what your hidden convictions of the heart are?
Well, I definitely want to study this more because it's just a new area for me to really get into the depth of what Scripture teaches on this. But more, I think my transcendent pursuit, the thing that I'm most excited about, is pursuing what are my deep convictions that are not necessarily true.
Mm-hmm.
And just asking God to expose those things I love the word, I think Gary used it, dismantle. That word is, I've always loved that word because there's so much in our life that needs to be dismantled from time to time. And I think a deeply held conviction that is not true is something that has to be dismantled. It's lodged in there pretty tightly, and we've lived with it a long time. And so I know God will take us through things that cause that dismantling to take place. And when it does, I mean, I could give you so many examples, but when it does and you begin to act based on a conviction that's based on truth, you're really beginning to experience freedom and transformation.
You know, what I find interesting is when I was with Bob Allums, who, you know, of course you guys know well, and those listening, he came to a retreat we just did, and he works with the guy who wrote the book A Praying Life, which we've talked about and did a campfire conversation and so on. Just a marvelous man. And we did a campfire conversation with him 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago.
Oh, we did. You're right. Beginning
yeah.
of December.
Yeah. Anyway, when he was out here, he and his wife were out here because their daughter lives in Canyon City, about, you know, an hour away from here or so. He was telling me about this book that he's been reading that is having a huge impact on him, and he recommended it to me, so I got it. And it's a book called Transitions by William Bridges. It came out about 25 years ago. And it really is a fascinating book. Not doesn't come from a Christian standpoint, but just talks about the idea that what happens in life is called a change. Things change. Work changes, relationships, material things. But what happens interior-wise, inner-wise, is a transition. And he said where life starts to fall apart is where there is a change on the outside, but there's no transition on the inside. And but anyway, the reason I was thinking about that, John, and when I talk about mine, I'm going to hit on this because it's hitting me, is that, you know, I just wonder when you said I really want to think about wrong thinking in my life, kind of explore that. And specifically, or one of the areas being work and finances, because things are changing. And one of the things I'm challenged by is this idea that, you know, we get into different seasons of life. And his basic point is, when you come into a new season, I don't think he uses the word season, he uses some other word, but you come into another season, and you don't transition internally, and all of life is trying to get you to make that transition. That's called growth. So I just wonder if that's part of it, you know, because you've been saying you're coming into a new season in your life. Anyway, it's fascinating. It makes sense to me as I reflect on past conversations that you and I have had, or three of us have had, you know, on what about the past and the way you worked and your expectations are now. You kind of have to let some of those go now, possibly.
Yeah, definitely. Which is a little scary because so often when God dismantles, it's not a very pleasant process.
Right.
Man, you must know what I mean.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I think everybody knows what I mean.
Yes. So one more question. What is your thought of how you're going to kind of pursue this? What is that going to look like on a daily or weekly or whatever basis as you imagine your life in this pursuit?
I really think this is one of these pursuits that's primarily just journeying, a continual mindset towards, Father, open my eyes to what thinking, what convictions I'm holding on to that are not true. And, you know, then it's just kind of up to him to begin to show me what those things are. But in that process, journaling a lot and trying to write down and document what my thinking patterns are that are not necessarily true. I think another big thing is spending time with other people, talking through some of these things just to say, you know, here's the way I've been thinking. What do you think about that? Do you see a different biblical principle here that I'm not seeing? Or am I don't know, just getting feedback from other people. to trying to determine, am I correct or am I incorrect? Because we just have to have the eyes of other people on us.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. And I want to encourage you, John, is as you're going through this, is mark your trail well so that, you know, at some point you can help lead others through the same process. You know, this is because I'm fascinated by it and want to do the same. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I think we should talk about Gary now.
You're so mean. So, well, I'll jump in because I'm not afraid. So, but I do want to encourage anyone out there who wants to jump in. All you need to do is get on the phone and dial that number that's on the Base Camper Secret Garden. And then once you're on and you're listening, if you hit *2, a little hand comes up on our screen which says that you would love to jump in, and we can unmute you at some point and kind of hear what you're thinking. So I encourage you to do that.
Yeah, let me just
second
that encouragement,
yeah,
if you don't mind me.
Yes. No, please.
And it's just that, you know, if you listen to John was just saying, hey, I'm just thinking of these things right now. It's not even super clear. I think that we all want to be able to share as vulnerably as John did and just say, I'm still sort of playing around with this and trying to sort it out, because we're friends here. This is a safe place to be able to talk and share what's going on. So get on if you want some help.
Yep. I'm planning on it being safe as I start to share, so we'll see. So here's – I'm still very much in a fog on this one. I don't have much clarity, but what I feel like I have is a general direction. And three kind of themes came up in my life as I'm writing, thinking, praying, pondering, re-looking at things, wrestling with it. So the three directional themes that I see so far, and these aren't real specific, is I feel, let me say it and then I'll explain it a little more. I feel like I need to settle some things. I need to settle in to some things. And I need to settle up some things. So I feel like I need to settle some things. And I'm being very hit by this book, Transitions, right now. I feel like it was very much God's timing in my life when Bob brought this up to me. And it's making me think about a number of things. So I feel like I do need to kind of settle some early life issues in my life. You know, the way I looked at work, the way I looked at what was working in a worthy manner, what should my life look like right now? I feel like I need to settle some things in my life. As he was talking about, I feel like sometimes I'm trying to bring some earlier life issues into my present life, and it's and maybe God was saying, no, I actually wanted you to leave that behind there. The other aspect of settling is, and it's really hitting me, this empty nest life, this is a bigger deal than I thought. And I've heard people talk about it, but to me it's one of those things you don't really understand until you're in it. And I feel like I'm really having to wrestle through, what does it mean to not have any children at home anymore? Because so much of my life revolved around that. So that's the settle-in side of this. So settling into some things. One of the things I'm intrigued by was in the last 2 months, I have been asked to be on two boards, and I haven't been asked to be on a board for a long, long time, even though I used to speak on, you know, what does it mean to be a board member and how do boards work. This is way back in Focus days. But all of a sudden, the last 2 months, I've been asked to be on a board of elders at our church and an advisory board for another ministry. Actually, it's Michael Thompson's ministry, Zoe. And what I'm so intrigued by is I have been, and I think this will be a future topic of a campfire conversation because Sam is Sam has brought it up, and he's a lot has been stirring in him, and he's written some about it. But this idea of leadership, I have been very standoffish with leadership because of some past experiences, of some negative ones, and I don't want to become that. I don't want it to look like that. I'd rather just stay away from it, I'm realizing. And I feel like God is kind of saying, I need you to settle back into your place in life. I need you to stop avoiding certain things. So I feel like a settle-in issue of offering leadership in some way. Another would be counseling, advising. I just kind of put those two words down. Settling into being more, doing more of that in my life, and then mentoring. That's a settle inside. Settle up. There are two things that come to mind that I feel invited into. And one is I feel like I need to settle up some past situations, relationships that really there was never any good closure to. And I felt this for a while, just last month or two, that God's kind of been saying, you know what, I need you to settle up on some things yet still because you're still dragging some of these things. I don't know what that looks like yet, but it's a you need to settle up accounts on some things. And then the settle up side would be on finances. You know, personal finances, John, you mentioned that, and kind of ministry finances. Kind of the same thing you did, talked about finances and work. They always tie in together. And I feel like God's saying, you need to settle up on this now. It's kind of a settle in, kind of a settle, but you need to deal with this now. So kind of themes feel like settle, settle in, and settle up. Now, let me mention one other thing. And there are I did try to do kind of a brain dump on desires, just without giving much assessment to it, just what are some things that are just kind of on the in the basket of desire. And I would say, you know, what's in that basket with whatever I do with it is, I would love to – you know, finish up and then do some more of these video interviews, which I'm fascinated by. I really do want to start writing again. I would love to put together a panel of experts on, I mean, outside of our circle, bring in others, a panel of experts on calling, purpose, destiny, whatever you want to call it. And whether that's a like a webinar format or it's literally somewhere, but a very kind of a high level a number of voices speaking on this. I've always wanted to do that, and it's kind of come back up again. I have no idea how to do it or what that would look like. And the last thing in the kind of desire basket would be, and this was an old desire to come back up, is I would love to create a crisis response team of people that would say, hey, when a crisis comes up in the country or somewhere else, I'd love to respond to it. You know, to show up in the midst of that crisis and help people. Very similar to what an organization has done out of Kansas City called CRI, Crisis Response International. My heart is to take a little different tact than they do, but this idea of crisis response training and then organization where we could actually have a kind of a number of people who are trained and ready to go when something comes up, whether it be, something in, you know, weather related or culture related, you know. Anyway, so that's just a hodgepodge of things that are kind of stirring, but don't know exactly how to narrow that down more in my life yet.
Holy smokes. Now, we were talking about being disorganized. John and I are speechless. Right, John?
I just put a label to something. That's all I said.
Yeah, they were really good labels. Settle some things,
thanks.
Settle in, settle up. Oh, my gosh. John, why don't you go again? That was great, Jerry.
Give me a chance to catch back up to him.
Oh, brother. Anyway. So
I'm curious if you could comment. I'm just, and maybe you don't want to, but I'm real curious about your settling in and your experience of the empty nest. Is that a good thing you're going through? Is it a bad thing? I mean, is it painful? Is it joyful? How would you describe your experience right now?
You know, I find myself, there feels like there's something missing in my life. Now, and I haven't lost a child. I mean, it's just my, you know, part of the energy and activity that happened with having a child in the house was part of my life. It's kind of how I organized my life. It made sense of some things, you know. And now all of a sudden when it's quiet, I kind of have to deal with, I guess, more of just my own life. What is my life about and how am I going to live it? I can't be distracted by someone else's life right now. There's that, and there's, you know, it's just Lee and I at home. You know, and I love her dearly, but we haven't lived with just the two of us for, you know, 34 years. And it's kind of like, wow, how do we do this? And, you know, so it's good. It's just different. And I feel like I've really got to settle into this now. Or otherwise I'll just be kind of drifting and, you know, pushed with every wave of emotion kind of thing. So.
Hmm.
So yep. Would you say, in a certain sense, your transcendent pursuit is to settle? You know, this is what you're feeling called, in some ways, some kind of spiritual settlement. Is that
mm-hmm.
fair, accurate?
I think it is. I mean, the core word is settle, and I really do feel like there are many things that are unsettled in my life right now. And need to be. I can no longer afford, I don't mean a crisis way, but I can't afford to be unsettled in some of these things. It's just, you know what it feels like, I think we all do, when you're unsettled, it's kind of like you drift throughout your day, no matter where you are. You're just not settled enough to think in a focused way, live and move in a focused way. It's just bouncing from one idea to another, one emotion to another, to drifting, and I feel like God is maybe saying that this year you need to settle.
Hmm.
So yeah, that's, I think, it's about as much as I can describe it.
I think that was great. I don't have any questions for you because you said it so well.
Because I got to settle some things. So,
well, okay, when you said settle up, I was getting a little worried what that meant, but you took it in a safe direction.
Yeah, we need to settle up, Sam. You owe me some money, so let's settle up here. Anyway, so Sam, how about you? Where are you in all this?
Well, I would say that for the last several months, actually, for the last half of 2016, I was feeling an invitation from God to greater intimacy in some ways. And so I would say that for me, as I've been taking some time to think about what I want to pursue this year, the main area hasn't been that hard for me. I mean, I would say as soon as you, the three of us, talked about what would a transcendent pursuit be, I sort of said, boy, I pretty much know the area. And it's connected to invitations from God to intimacy and to the life of God in me. And the two are connected, and I don't quite know how that is. But when, John, you and Gary were at my house, I don't know, it was September or October this year. You guys were over at our house, and we were talking, we were planning. Or was it August? Anyway, sometime this last year, you were over at my house, and we were talking about stuff, and we talked some about the whole nature of the good heart, you know, how we'll say God has given us a good heart. And in that moment, I think you guys will remember, in that moment, something struck me, which was having a good heart isn't enough. It isn't what I want. It isn't the deepest desire of my heart. And part of it was because I think Adam and Eve had good hearts. I mean, they were perfect. They didn't even know what sin was. They had good hearts, and yet they fell. And I think somehow the redemption of humanity is more than just God giving us a good heart, but I think it's connected to somehow his life living inside me. You know, Jesus in the, the upper room discourse in the Gospel of John, he says it's to your advantage that I go away because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to live in you. And I think that because I come from a semi-charismatic background, when I think of the Holy Spirit, I normally think of, you know, miracles and healings and charismatic worship and speaking in tongues, you know, those kind of things. And I think that's not what Jesus was primarily talking about, although I think that the miracles happen today. So I think that I want more of them, God, please send more. But somehow when God says, when Jesus says it's better that I go away because I'm going to send my life to live inside you, I don't think I really know what that means. And yet I think that's the deeper level of intimacy that God is calling me to pursue and to figure out and to detangle. You know, I wrote my book on hearing God, and it really ended up, for me, I felt like it was more about intimacy with God than it was about hearing God, although it's about hearing God. But it's about the intimacy of hearing God. That's why I call it hearing God in conversation instead of, you know, hearing God for direction or his will. But I think I would have said hearing God is the deepest level of intimacy. But I'm beginning to think that the deepest level of intimacy is somehow more of a spiritual connection with my union with God, God living in me and me and him and me, and all these words that the Gospel of John uses, but other places use, and I just don't think I've thought about it and what it means. And yet, that's what I feel called to. In fact, you know, I was going to write another book, and I think I told John and Gary sometime in November that I want to write my next book called Invitations to Intimacy with God. And I had to ask Gary for permission because I love all of Gary's It's Your Call book. I love all of it. But my favorite line, the line that I use the most, is mystery is an invitation to intimacy with God. And to me, that line has so stuck in my brain that now I feel like I'm seeing that there's lots of invitations to intimacy with God. And mystery is a key one. But my next book that I want to write is called Invitations to Intimacy with God. And it's a bold place plagiarism of Gary's line from his book.
But
he gave me permission. So I don't know what to do with it, but I want to say that my transcendentist pursuit is to deepen and pursue intimacy with God, especially connected with the life of God in us. So it doesn't have all the alliteration of Gary's, you know, settle in, settle up, settle here, settle there. But I feel it passionately.
Yeah, you do. And it's always been a theme of your thinking, your words, your sharing, your teaching. It's very you and sincerely you. And gosh, for you to pursue that, not only in a personal level, but then in a writing level, a sharing level, that's huge. I mean, we are cheering you on big time to do that.
Good.
Yeah. So. Have you actually, I mean, you started the thought process, no doubt. Have you actually started kind of into the writing work of this?
I've written the first chapter, and that's it. So, yes, I have started the work, the writing process.
Okay.
And, you know, it's, you know, another plagiarism on my part is stealing from Gary is writing, his phrase, his description of writing. Writing is detangling your thoughts through your fingers. And I feel like I started this process of the book, at least thinking about it. And, you know, I've got 40 pages of notes on it. So I've been doing a lot of thinking about it in the last 6 months. And only one chapter, but I would say that for me, the writing is a type of pursuit. It's not like I'm just writing about something I know, where I'm just sort of writing from memory. For me, the writing itself is part of the pursuit. It's detangling my thoughts. It's hopefully detangling my spirit through my fingers. So to me, the writing is very much a part of the pursuit, because it's not because I need to be able to articulate it, and I can't articulate it yet. So I'm having to detangle my fingers and my thoughts.
Right. Well, it's your think, write, ponder,
pray.
What were your words? Ponder, explore,
Reflect and express.
Reflect and express. Okay. Yep. Absolutely. Good. I'm very glad you're doing that. So we'll just keep asking you about that.
You know, it's amazing. Every day I read a different quote. So I just sent this quote to John and Gary this morning. But I just read this. You know, I see other quotes that are so similar, but this was just one more quote. Of course, it's by Oswald Chambers. But Oswald Chambers says that the only way to keep true to God is by a steady, persistent refusal to be interested in Christian work and to be interested alone in Jesus Christ. And I read that and say, it just makes sense. It's so easy for me to be distracted by the measurable effects of, you know, the blog readers or how many people buy the book or how many people attend a retreat. And I just keep hearing God say, look, at the only thing that matters is your steadfast interest in God. So I read that every day. I mean, I could send you guys an email every day about this, because I read something in a book or in scripture, or I overhear a conversation. Anyway,
so
I'll quit trying
to
sell
that.
Yet.
No, yes to that. Send us an email every day with another quote.
Okay. I will.
Well, what's so fascinating is, you know, Oswald Chambers, he started a Bible college for missionaries.
Yes,
and for
exactly.
him to say, if you really want to...
Being a missionary isn't your main focus.
Exactly. Yeah. Have a steady, persistent refusal to be interested in Christian work. Yes. Absolutely. That's so good. Well, hey, everyone, does anyone want to jump on? I don't want to pressure you. There's no pressure here, never will be. But if you want to jump on, we're at 40 minutes into the call where we start winding this down. And look at that. Buzz just raised his hand. I love it, Buzz. So
hey, Buzz.
I'm going to unmute
him.
You.
You're going to
unmute. I just got him.
Okay.
Maybe we. No, I didn't.
I didn't touch
okay,
him.
Hold on. Okay, I'm going to get him right here. So, Buzz, you are unmuted. We are so happy. So, talk to us, our friend.
Well, it's good to hear all of you, and I see a bunch of guys that I know and want to say hi to. This is very timely. I'm 100 miles away from my house at a beautiful cabin for the purpose of thinking 3 days, 4 days, of thinking, praying, writing, pondering about the year. Back at home, I am so uber busy. I have, by God's grace or by my flesh effort, I have a community of men that I have a rhythm of meetings and conversations and writing and connecting, and I'm here just expecting fruitfulness, and today has been like death. And the idea
of, see, we're laughing because we knew this was coming.
Oh, we all know it so well personally.
Exactly.
Oh, the idea of a transcendental pursuit feels like it's in Africa, and I'm in Georgia, and I don't have a plane or a boat to get there. So when I saw this, I just knew I had to dial in. I don't normally have availability on Thursday nights, and so I do tonight. I'm out of rhythm. Gary, I could relate to your empty nest. We've been there for a bit, and we've had some, not tragedy, but some difficulty with my wife's had some difficult cancer surgery, and she's doing well. Gary, Sam, and John, all of you, I can relate to some of the things that all of you said. But the phrase that came to me for today, and I know it's not permanent, but the phrase ontological lightness. I feel like I have no substance, and that my being away is somehow a ruse, and it's been a terrible day. I don't know what to say.
So you're not done, are you?
No. I'm stopped. I'm pausing for you to laugh or offer anything. I know that you know this day or this couple days is not gonna last. But it was just interesting that here we were going to talk about a transcendental pursuit, and I've gotten on Facebook today and gotten cynical, and oh my goodness, it's just been it's felt like a waste of time.
You know, okay, so a couple of thoughts. I'm getting laughing because I so relate to exactly what you're saying. I got this, it's like I have a special time with God, this special date, and we start off right away by not speaking, you know? So, or I get these nasty looks, it feels like. So, anyway, okay, so a couple things that I would love to say to you, Buzz, is first of all, let me say, okay, I relate to this idea of this, even though I wouldn't know how to spell it, I tried on a pad of paper, this ontological lightness. I identify with feeling like that, where I look at my life and I go, really? Really, is there anything really of significance or weight about my life? Or am I just, playing this game of cards kind of thing? So I understand that, but I can tell mm-hmm. you, Don and I can tell you firsthand.
When and I can echo it, they told me it behind your back.
I know. When we saw the impact you had on the men, because they were in our groups, and they were talking about, as they told their story, about what's impacted them. And they talked about, and then specifically the men and the events and the things that have impacted them. Your name came up repeatedly for both John and I, our groups, so we saw and felt the impact you had. So, first of all, we can speak and say there's no lightness to your life. There is a weightiness to your life. That's number one. Absolutely true. You know, I would say what you're feeling and what's coming at you is probably both a sense of spiritual warfare, but also probably a sense of God's work of deeper humility, which you brought up as John was sharing about his life, this idea of humility. And so I just think he does that, with
yeah.
us. And I think sometimes when he doesn't speak to, he doesn't bring different, pictures, visions, desires, ideas to us, sometimes because he's saying, you're doing what I made you to do right now. I don't need to give you anything different. It could be simply that there is nothing that new or additional that needs to be done. You need to be doing. There's a good chance versus there really isn't anything to your life, or he's not speaking to you, or you're not dialed in. It possibly, probably is the other. So those would be my thoughts.
No,
I had to, Buzz, this is John, and I was just thinking as you were sharing that, I kept thinking back to, my son was on a similar retreat a couple, 3 years ago and went into it just really full of anticipation and curiosity what God was going to do and how God was going to speak. And he said at the end of the first day or maybe even the second day, it was just like you described your day as being, just absolutely nothing. And he was starting to get kind of ticked, why did I come if you're not going to show up, God, and that kind of thing. And at the end of the day, God finally spoke and said, oh, you thought this was going to be easy, huh?
Yeah.
And he realized, it's not for me. this really is something I've got to press through and really push forward, dig deep or whatever, to really find the goal that's here. And so he did. He began to really push and push and push, and you know, he dug deep and found some real gold, and it was wonderful. So
that's really helpful, because I unconsciously think that I thought it was going to be sliding into home plate to win the game in the ninth inning, just coming in, and it was going to be easy. I really did probably think that without thinking that.
Hmm.
You know, when you talked about the ontological lightness, it immediately reminded me of a book I read maybe 10 or 15 years ago. It was by a Czech philosopher, an existentialist guy, and the book is called The Unbearable Lightness of Being.
Mm-hmm.
And the title of the book itself expresses the book. And he's an atheist, and he says, but in the book he's saying, if there is no God, then all you do is die and rot. Why try for a better world? It's going to die and rot as well. And I wonder if God doesn't just sometimes lift his hand of presence to let us experience the unbearable lightness of being, to get us to go back to him. You know, Psalm 1, the beginning of the Psalms, it's talking about what is a person of substance? You know, it's someone who prospers, who bears fruit in its season. That doesn't always bear fruit, which I always think was very interesting. You know, its leaf never withers, but it only bears fruit in its season. And it contrasts that with the wicked. And in this case, the word wicked really means those who have no God. It says the wicked are not so, but they're like the chaff that the wind blows away. And that's what I think the unbearable lightness of being is, if we have no God. And I think God can lift his presence just to remind us, no matter how much success we have, no matter how much impact we have in people's lives, if our substance isn't coming from God, then all we have is the unbearable lightness of being. Even all our fame and glory and success and fruit and ministry is chaff. So I do think that if there's a blessing God is pouring out on you, Buzz, it just doesn't feel like it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. If I can use, can I just take a minute and give you an illustration that I wonder if it's truer than I believed it to be true. I'm not a vision guy, but I got a picture about a year ago of my chest as a set of French doors, and the right door, if you opened it up, was a gifting door, and the left door was the truth, the inner self, the inner man door.
Mm-hmm.
When I walk into our Friday and Saturday men's gatherings, it's one's 10 people and one's 30 people, I feel such a rush of, I hope it's anointing, but the ability to direct the spiritual traffic in the room and invite the Holy Spirit to connect with every man. And it seems like it always happens, and I'm a facilitator, and that's the gifting door. And sometimes my fear is that the other door, the man door, may not be developing, or as you put the words, Sam, experiencing the union with Jesus that he must experience to be able to bear the weightiness of the gift. So that's been going on in my, that picture comes up to me, and it's been coming for about 12 to 18 months. Just, I'm aware of it. I walk out of every Friday and every Saturday feeling like, feeling awesome. And then in the alone times, it's the wondering if, or the way that this inner man can grow in his full weightiness of who he's meant to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think you expressed it very well.
Yeah. The thing that comes to me, Buzz, because I wrestle with this and God has kind of keeps throwing this, putting this back in my face, is kind of the reverse of what Jesus said to, it was Peter, right, about if you love me, feed my sheep.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like sometimes God says, so do you love feeding my sheep or do you love me? Because I feel like, you know, I sense that when we do what we're made to do, it's so who we are, and it's so for the reason, the motive, the goal of what God has put in our heart to be about our life, that I can just live off of that. Like, that's good enough for me. That I can feel, it's tangible, it does something to me. And I just find sometimes God just strips it from me and says, not for a while now, because you have become addicted to this. This is taking place. So let me take it away for a while. Not forever. It's not punishment. This is, I need to readjust your taste buds, if you will. You know, I take us away so you can, I can't come up with an illustration. But so I agree, Sam, with you guys. I just think God does that to say, you've fallen in love with the life I've designed you to live and not with me anymore, so let me back that down a little bit. And it may be
that's
just
helpful.
Your experience, your just experience of these days up there, not when you necessarily get back, but anyway, I think God does do that, Sam. I'm with you.
And I would say it's an invitation to intimacy with God. It's an invitation where God says, I'm better. I have something in a relationship with me that's even better than all this other stuff that you have. So I like your metaphor. Yeah. Of the sort of the two doors of the chest, because I think you're being very honest and vulnerable there. I think that we all know that so well. If we're honest with ourselves, we know it so well. And I think God is saying to you, look, at the one isn't too much. I'm just growing the other.
Yes. You know? Yes. Well, just to be able to put language to it in the middle of being alone for 3 days is golden. And thank you.
Well, thank you.
Well, listen, I'm so thrilled the way God orchestrated this, right? You have all these days alone and really feeling alone, and then this is the conversation, which we went back and forth if we wanted to have this conversation tonight or not. So, anyway, I love it. It's just really fun to see this. So, yep, very good. So, Buzz, thanks for getting on with us. This has been...
Thank you so much.
Sure.
This has been
thank you all.
For all of us, you bet. So, everyone, this has been a fun conversation. It really has. So thanks for joining us, and we hope to see you. I think we're going to stay to Tuesdays now for everyone at this point. And I'm seeing some people I haven't seen for a while, so that kind of tells me probably Tuesday works for you, but Thursday never did. So we'll probably stick with this for a while. So, John, Sam, thank you for doing this, for the three of us being able to do this tonight. Thank you.
It was just fun to be together again. I mean, every time we do this, it's fun to be together. So thank you.
Yep.
Yes.
Sure is. So good night, everybody. See you next week.
Good night.
Good night.